Lord Brahma has just seen the cows and boys turn into unlimitedly powerful and opulent Vishnu forms. And he is struck with wonder. He cannot see, he cannot move, he cannot do anything. Then, as we shall read right now, the last text we read, I believe, was 55, is that correct? 57, yes. Sorry. Lord Brahma's external consciousness then revived. He was completely unconscious due to the incredible thing that he saw. The Lord had expanded the cows and the boys that he thought he had stolen them away, and then he went back and he saw them. And he looked and they turned. He was bewildered even by what he saw, because he had taken them away. Where were they? And there they were. And then those calves and boys turned into Lord Vishnu forms, each decorated with tulsis from toe to head, worshipped by all the elements, worshipped by every living entity. And then he was bewildered, struck. And then, text 58, Lord Brahma's external consciousness then revived. He lost consciousness. Then it was revived, and he stood up just like a dead man coming back to life. Opening his eyes with great difficulty, he saw the universe along with himself. Prabhupada's purport. We actually do not die. We are mere at death. We are merely kept inert for some time, just as during sleep. At night we sleep and all our activities stop. But as soon as we arise, our memory immediately returns. And we think, oh, where am I? What do I have to do? That is called supto-titta-nyaya. Suppose we die. Die means that we become inert for some time and again begin our activities. This place takes place life after life according to our karma, our activities, our swabhava, our nature, by association. Now in this human life, if we prepare ourselves by beginning the activity of our spiritual life, we return to our real life and attain perfection. Otherwise, according to karma, swabhava, prakriti, and so on, our varieties of life and activities continue, and so also do our birth and death. As explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, mayara vaishe yacha vaishe kacha habu duvu vai. My dear brothers, why are you being washed away by the waves of maya? One should come to the spiritual platform and then one's activities will be permanent. Kritta punja punja. This stage is attained after one accumulates the results of pious activities for many, many lives. Janma koti sukritarana labhyate. The Krishna consciousness movement wants to stop koti janma, wants to stop repeated birth and death. I remember one time when I was in in the 60s, just like now, there's people put graffiti all over the walls. Well, in the 60s, that really began, 1966. So in the subways of New York, people would write political statements, you know, down with communism, free this one, you know, stop the exploitation of the masters, of the masses. And then there was one on the subway that I saw myself. It said, abolish compulsory reincarnation. It They were protesting, but it didn't do any good. But here's the way to remove compulsory reincarnation is to accumulate devotional piety until it develops to the degree that one loves Krishna. And if we don't do that, we are controlled by our karma, our swabhava, our nature, and like that, and prakriti, and forced to take repeated birth after death, and birth after death. Usually we say that death is after birth, but actually birth is also after death. Deaths, then births. Deaths, then birth. Then the people, there's some people question, is there life after death? And the devotees look at the materialists and question, is there life after birth? Because people are just controlled by the modes of material nature. Actually, there is no life. There is no one home inside, practically speaking. Just control, just acting as if animals. Just no thought as to, not, I'm just speaking in a general way, not everyone, but there's such a tendency to be just caught up in just making one's money, trying to get some sense enjoyment, then sleeping, then working, then eating and sleeping and working and some defending and working. One's whole life spent with no purpose, no tangible gain, no, just watching television, watching the movies, watching the sports, listening to music, working, eating, sleeping, defending, mating, sleeping, eating, on and on and on, until as if it's going to go on forever, but it doesn't. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham. Krishna comes and says, you forgot something. You forgot me in the form of death, something that's unstoppable, that's beyond your beyond whims. So the conclusion here is, first of all, that we should accept this. And Prabhupada is using the opportunity to preach about this, about Brahma's coming back to, acting as if coming back to life. He came back to consciousness. Just like in the morning, we're asleep, and then we come back to consciousness and we begin to remember things. So similarly, when we take, death is just like sleep. And then we take a body and then we remember. Actually, we remember in subtle ways what our desires were from previous lives. Adishtayam manastayam vishayupasevate, that's carried in the subtle body. And then we start the seeds of those desires. That is called karma vasana. Those tendencies that we bring into this life with us, and then they start manifesting. Like seed stuff, just like there, if there are so many seeds, there can be hundreds of different kinds of seeds all thrown together. And you can't, when they're still in the seed form, maybe someone can't recognize which is which, what kind of flowers and fruits will come from those seeds until they mature. So similarly, all children appear very innocent, but when the seeds of their desires start maturing, their innocence goes far away. And it just entangles them further in fruitive karmic activities, which means further births and further deaths and sufferings. So break out of that. And remember, Prabhupada is writing this practically, speaking this and writing it practically on his own deathbed. The Krishna consciousness movement wants to stop koti janma. What does koti janma mean?
Billions.
Koti, koti, so many repeat, practically repeated, thousands of births, millions of births that we have to take one after another. In one birth, one should rectify everything and come to permanent life. That is, this is Krishna consciousness. So then, but we're not supposed to say in one birth one should rectify everything and come to permanent life. That'll be next birth. No, this birth we're supposed to do it. Tarappa dhruvamartidam. This is the purpose of life. So Brahma has woken up and come to consciousness because Krishna actually has removed some of his mystifying potency. And then he immediately, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said that he immediately, again, because he was just stunned before at the awesome, wonderful revelation that Krishna had revealed to him of his potency. And then he began to remember, as he came back to his identity, he saw, oh yes, I am Brahma. I'm the creator of the universe. He started thinking like that again. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. Text 59. Then, looking in all directions, Lord Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him, filled with trees which were the means of livelihood for the inhabitants and which were equally pleasing in all seasons. So he came to consciousness and he began to see, yes, I am in Vrindavan. These trees are extraordinary and they are so pleasing. Not just in one season they're pleasing in all seasons. They're not bare with it in the remaining seasons. These are special trees. Prabhupada's purport to 59. Jana jivya juma kirnam. Trees and vegetables are essential and they give happiness all year round in all seasons. That is the arrangement in Vrindavan. It is not that in one season the trees are pleasing and another season not pleasing. Rather, they are equally pleasing throughout the seasonal changes. Trees and vegetables provide the real means of livelihood recommended for everyone. Sarva kama dhugamahi. Trees and vegetables, not industry, provide the real meaning of life. So in the last text, Prabhupada was speaking about using one's life properly, not just getting entangled in more karma, but using one's life properly to end this recycling process. Just like they want to recycle everything, but everyone is being recycled into the material world in different bodies. Samsara, chakra. Samsara, samsara chakra brahmata sakamabhi. We are going around this samsara chakra, this wheel of repeated birth and death, and what is pushing us around from one place to another? We're wandering brahmata by our own karma, our own activities. And with activities also, by Krishna's mercy, we can get out. But who will be so sincere that will perform that kind of activity to get us out? Completely sincere, wanting to please Krishna. Those souls are the ones who get out. So Prabhupada then, so that was one, the previous verse, that's what he talked about. And Prabhupada is talking about not industry is the cause of the nourishment of the food. You cannot eat nuts and bolts. Prabhupada would say, that's what's produced in the factory. The things that we eat are produced through nature, naturally, by Krishna's arrangement. Text 60. So he looked around, Brahma looked around and saw Vrindavan filled with kalpataru, wish-fulfilling trees. Vrindavan, text 60, is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. So Vrindavan, the spiritual world, a special place. There is no enmity, because there is no envy. And because there is no envy, there is no fighting. Purport. The word vana means, or ban, means forest. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals, so meaning the jungles are very, very dangerous. In in Nepal and the remote parts of India. There's big forests still, and there are tigers there and elephants, huge pythons, very dangerous, ferocious boars. Boars are very dangerous because of their tusks. So many wild animals. So in that type of forest, the word vana means forest or jungle. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals, they are not ferocious, but they are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Even in this material world, in the forest, the animals live together. And when they go to drink water, they do not attack anyone. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification, for the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. Even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, "Come here and take a little milk." Not nowadays, there are less tigers there. This is previously the sadhus were not afraid, because unless Krishna sanctions, how will this tiger can't give me any trouble. So they're living entities also, they're hungry, so take this milk. Thus envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. There's that story and a picture of Raghunath Das Goswami, he's doing bhajan, and a tiger comes to drink water in Radhakund Shyamakund. And Raghunath is just meditating on Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and the tiger just goes, drinks his water, and then goes away. You've seen that picture? Yeah, famous picture. That's Vrindavan. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. We are horrified to hear the name of Vana, forest, as if we have to go there. But in Vrindavan there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. Krishna kirtana gananatana paro. Whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business in Vrindavan is the same, to please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. This is a special qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy. The cat is happy. The dog is happy. The man is happy. Everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in different capacity. And thus, there is no envy. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious. Especially if you're wearing your glasses. Or you're carrying some food. Did they get your glasses ever, Bunky?
Four times.
Why only Bunky should wear glasses? Why I should not wear glasses? One may think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. So Prabhupada, it seems like he's mixing the two Vrindavans there. The one that we see where the monkeys run and take food, but in the other Vrindavan, the spiritual world, below the thin covering, the monkeys, they are Krishna's friends, and he feeds them butter. He distributes them with his own hand. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. So there Prabhupada is clearly talking about the spiritual Vrindavan. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasadam and eat. So anyone who's thinking in this way in the Bhoomi Vrindavan, they're actually in their consciousness is so pure. It's the spiritual world fully is manifest. like Runti Dev Maharaj described in the ninth canto. So incredible. He was fasting for so long. And then when it came time for him finally to break the fast, he distributed. And then he was just sitting down to eat, and people would come and beg him for prasadam, the food, and he would give it away. Extraordinary. But this is the liberality of a pure Vaishnava heart. Not I survive and you die. No. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden and can't be imitated. But it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness. By sadhana, one can come to this platform. So unenvious, so pure and liberal, Mahatma. In the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely. Yet those to whom the food is given may not feel even appreciative. The value of Krishna consciousness, however, will gradually be very much appreciated. For instance, in an article about the temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, "All the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna, and the results are obvious to see. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities." This is the nature of Vrindavan. Harav abhaktasya kuto mahaguna. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. That's Prabhupada's purport. Text 61. Then Lord Brahma, he was seeing Vrindavan after he came out of his trance, stunned trance. Then Lord Brahma saw the absolute truth, who is one without a second, incomparable, asama udha. No one is greater than him and no one is equal to him. So he saw the absolute truth, one who is without a second, who possesses full knowledge and who is unlimited. Assuming that absolute truth, assuming the role of a child in a family of coward men, and standing all alone, just as before, with a morsel of food in his hand, searching everywhere for the calves and his coward friends. So when he came, when his consciousness returned, and he saw Krishna, who here, he saw him, the absolute truth, was now acting as if a coward boy in the family of coward men. Prabhupada has a purport here, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does too. But this will be the... No, there's still some more. The word Agatal Bodhan, meaning full of unlimited knowledge, is significant in this verse. The Lord's knowledge is unlimited, and therefore one cannot touch where it ends, just as one cannot measure the ocean. What is the extent of our intelligence in comparison to the vast expanse of water in the ocean? On my passage to America, how insignificant this ship was, like a matchbox in the midst of the ocean. Krishna's intelligence resembles the ocean, for one cannot imagine how vast it is. The best course, therefore, is to surrender to Krishna. Don't try to measure Krishna. The word Adwayam, meaning one without a second, is also significant. Because Brahma was overcast by Krishna's maya, he was thinking himself the supreme. In the material world, everyone thinks, I am the best man in the world. I know everything. One thinks, why should I read Bhagavad Gita? I know everything. I have my own interpretation. Brahma, however, was able to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Another of Krishna's names, therefore, is Parameshwar. Parama Ishwar. Parameshwar. Now Brahma saw Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, not demonstrating his opulence, because he's standing there and sitting with the cowboys, it doesn't mean that he has no potency or opulence, because Brahma had just seen unlimited opulence just moments before, and now he saw the same Krishna who had displayed that was just standing there. Just like an innocent boy with some food in his hand, loitering with his coward boyfriend's calves and cows. Brahma did not see Krishna as Chaturbhuja, the opulent Narayan. Rather, he simply saw an innocent boy. Nonetheless, he could understand that although Krishna was not demonstrating his power, he was the same supreme person. People generally do not appreciate someone unless he shows something wonderful. But here, although Krishna did not manifest anything wonderful, Brahma could understand that the same wonderful person was present like an ordinary child, although he was the master of the whole creation. Thus Brahma prayed, Govindamari Purusham Tamam Brajami. You are the original person, the cause of everything. I bow down to you. This was his realization. Tamaham Brajami. This is what is wanted. Vedeshu Dulabham. One cannot reach Krishna merely by Vedic knowledge. A dulabham atma bhakta. But when one becomes a devotee, atma bhakta, then one can realize him. Brahma, therefore, became a devotee. In the beginning, he was proud of being Brahma, the Lord of the universe. But now he understood, here is the Lord of the universe. I am simply an insignificant agent. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Pajami. Krishna was playing as a dramatic actor. Because Brahma had some false prestige, thinking that he had some power, Krishna showed him his real position. A similar incident occurred when Brahma went to see Krishna in Dwarka. When Krishna's doorman informed Lord Krishna that Lord Brahma had arrived, Krishna responded, "Which Brahma?" "Ask him, which Brahma?" The doorman relayed this question, and Brahma was astonished. "Is there another Brahma beside me?" he thought. When the doorman informed Lord Krishna, "It's the four-headed," informed Lord Krishna, "which Brahma?" he asked. "It's the four-headed Brahma." Lord Krishna said, "Oh, four-headed, call others, show him." This is Krishna's position. For Krishna, the four-headed Brahma is insignificant, to say nothing of the four-headed scientists, because it's true, scientists have foreheads. Yes? And they also have forearms. But it's not worth very much, is it? Everyone has foreheads and forearms, in that sense. To say nothing of the four-headed scientists. Materialist scientists think that although this planet Earth is full of opulence, all others are vacant. Because they simply speculate, this is their scientific conclusion. But from the Bhagavatam, we understand that the entire universe is full of living entities everywhere. Thus, it is the folly of the scientists that although they do not know anything, they mislead people by presenting themselves as scientists, philosophers, and men of knowledge. So Prabhupada is touching this, so many of the points that are his favorite points. These are his last words. Criticizing the scientists was one of his favorite points because they dare to. One time Prabhupada was in Washington, and there was the one, not a scientist, but a professor came to see him who he was teaching Hinduism at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., in the United States, the nation's capital. So Prabhupada asked him a few questions, and the man said he didn't know these things. About the sort of Hinduistic type of questions. So then Swarup Damodar, then he wasn't a sannyasi, but he was there, a PhD also. So Prabhupada said to him, "What do we call someone who is teaching but doesn't know?" And so Swarup Damodar said, "A cheater, Prabhupada." And then, so it went on like that. So to say what one doesn't know as if one knows it is bluffing and it's not appropriate. So this was what, so they don't know, they can't actually say there is no God. Through the inductive or the ascending process, no one can say that there is no God. It is impossible to conclude that there is no God because you haven't looked everywhere. It is impossible to have searched everywhere through the inductive method. But yet they so proudly dare to claim that there is no God. And therefore this was the great fault that Prabhupada criticized the scientists for. Through their big brains, their conclusion is ludicrous, that there is no God. So he's criticized the scientists. He's talked about the sweet atmosphere in Vrindavan because of lack of envy. He's talked about that their industry is not really what we require. We require to produce natural food grains, things like that. And therefore, so Prabhupada, it's interesting how he's talking about so many of his points here. He's talked about using our life properly. Very simple but important basic Krishna conscious points. Vishal Chakravarti Thakur also has a long purport in this verse, and this is his last long purport of this chapter, more or less. This is what he says. Covering up the four-handed Vishnumurti forms generated from his own form by Yogamaya, Krishna showed Brahma his original form described in the Shrutis as a Kanda Advitya Brahma. There in Vrindavan, Brahma saw Krishna. And what did Krishna look like? Concealing his majesty, Krishna played as a coward boy, standing with some food in his hand while loitering with his calves and boyfriends. Brahma did not see Krishna as Chaturbhuja Narayan. He simply saw an innocent boy. Yet he understood that Krishna was the master of the whole creation. Brahma thought, here is the Lord of the universe. I am simply his insignificant servant. That is natural to experience this once we come in touch with the opulences of Krishna. We see, we can think we are very, very big or significant. An illusion, but if we come up against anything powerful, even looking up at the sky, or looking at the complexity of a body, or one cell even, or see or millions of ways, we can just immediately understand that we are so tiny and insignificant. I am simply his insignificant servant. That consciousness is wonderful. Krishna is addressed as Advaita without a second because all the forms that Brahma had seen until he became stunned had now been covered up by Yogamaya. Because Krishna is the root cause of all forms, he is called Supreme, Param. Krishna is called Ananta, unlimited, because he possesses powers thousands of times greater than what he showed to Brahma. Krishna is called Aghadabhodam. These are all verses in the words in the text. Possessing unlimited knowledge because not only Brahma, but even Baladev and other expansions find it difficult to understand him. Because Krishna was performing like an actor, Natyam, he was searching here and there for the calves and boys. One year before, Brahma, under illusion, took that to be the actual fact. But now, after seeing the calves grazing on the grass in the pasture and the boys taking lunch on the riverbank, and no longer seeing the illusory boys created by Maya that he had stolen, Brahma became free from his illusion. He understood that Krishna's looking for the calves and boys again was some act of Krishna for bewildering him. Thus in the first verse of the next chapter containing Brahma's prayers, there is no mention of Krishna searching for the calves and boys. Because of Yogamaya's covering the four-handed forms coming from himself, Krishna is described in this verse as alone, all by himself. Krishna performed unlimited pastimes to please his pure devotees. Therefore, here he appeared sweetly with a lump of yogurt rice in his hand. For less qualified persons, Krishna shows his formless aspect. Then Yogamaya covers the sweetness of Krishna's transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, abodes, and associates, and leaves only the revelation of Krishna's formless feature. Very, very interesting how even if one is a spiritualist but doesn't have love for Krishna, but one wants to merge within Krishna, Vedeshu dolabama dolama atma bhakta govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. Krishna is all pervading. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. A sadhu, a pure soul, sees Krishna everywhere. But impersonalists don't see Krishna everywhere because Yogamaya covers up Yogamaya samabhita. He covers up mudayam navijananti. He covers up himself because why? Why does he cover up himself for the impersonalists so that they can't see him? Why does he do that? Yes. That's true, but it's not good. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They don't want to see him. So he doesn't allow them to see him. They want to see everything is one. So he shows them that aspect of himself. When we want to see money everywhere, we'll see money. When we want to see beautiful flowers everywhere, we'll see beautiful flowers. I had this experience so many times when we were looking for, remember we were looking, searching for a good car for Lalita. When you're searching for something, everywhere you look, I remember seeing cars everywhere. You know, this car, that car, that car. When you're looking, if you're trying to buy a new computer, everywhere you look, you see computers. But if you're trying to love Krishna, then Krishna will reveal that vision to you where he is, just like he reveals to you cars and computers everywhere, or money. This is yayatam mampapadyante. He reveals according to what our desire is, what consciousness we're developing. The materialists see according to their desires. So do the spiritualists. We can't see full reality. It is impossible. We can only see a little part of reality. Only Krishna knows reality. We can only see a little part. And what part we see depends upon our desires. And if we desire to see Krishna and serve him with great love, he will reveal himself in the most sweet form. And he's showing that to Brahma. Though there is an extreme difference in realization of Brahman and Bhagavan, there is no contradiction in the scriptures describing these features of the One Absolute Truth. Brahmeti Paramiti Bhagavaniti Sabhyate Adwaya Gyan. Some will claim that the phrase Trishutva Natya means putting on the dress of a cowherd boy. Therefore the cowherd boy form is not the eternal form, Swarupa Brahman, but simply a temporary form that illustrates the Lord's power to bewilder a living entity such as Brahma. Furthermore, the Lord only accepted the form as a coward boy as a convenient object of praise for Brahma to offer his prayers, as described in chapter 14, verse 1. Namidyate abravapushe. I praise the most worshipable one who has the body the color of a dark rain cloud. But this is not in agreement with Sridhar Swami's opinion, because the subject of prayers should never be an unreal thing. Indeed, the transcendental form of Krishna, holding a lump of yogurt rice in his hands, exists eternally. It is the most wonderful form. 62. After seeing this most wonderful form, drishtvedam manushan rupam tamas somyam chava arjuna. This is what Arjuna wanted to see, this drishtvedam manusham rupam tavas somyam. He wanted to see this beautiful form of Krishna. He didn't want to see the forum form, and he didn't want to see the universal form. He wanted to see that beautiful form, tavas somyam. After seeing this, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier, fell down like a golden rod, and touched the lotus feet of Lord Krishna with the tips of the four crowns on his head. Offering his obeisances, he bathed the feet of Krishna with the waters of his tears of joy. Purport. Lord Brahma bowed down like a stick, and because Lord Brahma's complexion is golden, he appeared to be like a golden stick lying down before Krishna. When one falls down before a superior just like a stick, one's offering of obeisances is called dandavat. Danda means stick and vat means like. It is not that one should simply say dandavat. That's what often people say, dandavat Prabhu. It is not that one should say dandavat. Rather, one must fall down. Thus Brahma fell down, touching his foreheads to the lotus, foreheads to the lotus feet of Krishna, and his crying in ecstasy is to be regarded as an Abhishek bathing ceremony of Krishna's lotus feet. He who appeared before Brahma as a human child was in fact the absolute truth, Parabrahma, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Subhyate. The Supreme Lord is Narakriti, that is, he resembles a human being. It is not that he is four-armed. Narayan is Chaturbahu, forum, but the Supreme Person resembles a human being. This is also confirmed in the Bible, where it is said that man was made in the image of God. Lord Brahma saw that Krishna in his form as a coward boy was Parabrahma, the root cause of everything, but was now appearing as a human child loitering in Vrindavan with a morsel of food in his hand. Astonished, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier and let his body fall to the earth. Usually the demigods never touch the ground, but Lord Brahma, voluntarily giving up his prestige as a demigod, bowed down on the ground before Krishna. Although Brahma has one head in each direction, he voluntarily brought all his heads to the ground and touched Krishna's feet with the tips of his four helmets, because we usually think of Brahma having one head here, one head here, and one head here, and one head here. But all four went to the ground. Although his intelligence works in every direction, he surrendered everything before the boy Krishna. So there is a hint of what we should do as well. It is mentioned that Brahma washed the feet of Krishna with his tears, and here the word sujalai indicates that his tears were purified. As soon as bhakti is present, everything is purified. Therefore, Brahma's crying was a form of bhakti anubhav, a transformation of transcendental ecstatic love. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when Lord Brahma understood the absolute truth, Parabrahman, the root cause of everything, that he was standing before him in his human form as a coward boy of Braja, he quickly jumped off the back of his swan carrier and fell to the earth. There is a famous saying that demigods never touch the earth. Brahma's breaking this rule indicates that he gave up his prestige as a demigod. Because Brahma's four heads were facing in four directions to touch the Lord's feet, he had to fall on the ground and raise himself again and again. He bathed Krishna's lotus feet with a profuse outpouring of tears. And then same thing the Prabhupada said. Text 63. Rising and falling again and again at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna for a long time, Lord Brahma remembered over and over again, over and over, the Lord's greatness that he had just seen. Prabhupada's purport. As stated in one prayer, Shrutim apare smitim mitare Bharatam manye bhajantu bhavavita Aham iha nandamande yasya linde param brahma. Let others study the Vedas, Smriti, and Mahabharata, fearing material existence. But I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard is crawling the Supreme Brahman. Nanda Maharaj was so great that the Parabrahma is crawling in his yard, and therefore I shall worship him. Brahma was falling down in ecstasy. Because the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who resembled a human child, Brahma was naturally astonished. Therefore, with a faltering voice, he offered prayers, understanding that here was the Supreme Person. And the prayers will be in the next chapter. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, after paying obeisances many times, Brahma remained on the ground at Krishna's feet for a long time due to being overwhelmed by intense bliss. This verse is in the present tense because Sukadev was directly experiencing the pastime. Because all these pastimes, they are nityalila, they are continuously going on. So he was narrating this, what he was seeing, what he was realizing, what he was experiencing, and he's just, it's coming out of his mouth. 64, which is the final verse that Prabhupada dictated a purport to while in this world. Then, rising very gradually and wiping his two eyes, Lord Brahma looked up at Mukunda. Lord Brahma, his head bent low, his mind concentrated, and his body trembling, very humbly began with faltering words to offer praises to Lord Krishna. And the prayers are very wonderful. And well, I'd like to read just a few of them right after, so we just get a little idea. But here's Prabhupada's final purport. Brahma, being very joyful, began to shed tears. And he washed the lotus feet of Krishna with his tears. Repeatedly fell and rose as he recalled the wonderful activities of the Lord. After repeating obeisances for a long time, Brahma stood up and smeared his hands over his eyes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the word lochane indicates that with his two hands he wiped the two eyes on each of his four faces. So this text is all about the crying of Lord Brahma being right before Krishna. Seeing the Lord before him, Brahma began to offer prayers with great humility, respect, and attention. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Stealing of the Boys and Calves by Brahma. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Let's hear the first two verses of Brahma's prayers. My dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the king of the cowherds, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning. And the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. Wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves and equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn, and a flute, you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand. My dear Lord, neither I nor anyone else can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me and which appears just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. How then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? O Almighty Lord, those who, and this verse is very, very important and very famous. When Lord Chaitanya was asking Ramananda Roy to speak on the absolute truth, Ramananda Roy quoted many verses, and Lord Chaitanya was drawing out of him his realizations, and he was actually feeding him the realizations, and they were coming out of the mouth of Ramananda Roy. While he was reciting these things, Ramananda Roy was speaking, and the Mahaprabhu would say, this is external. Baya, ea baya. Go on further, again. Further, further. I want to hear more, higher. But when Ramananda Roy, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire, said this verse, he said, now you have said something good. Now you just go deeper, but you have said something on the right platform. This is the third text of Brahma's prayers. Because he's saying, I can't know you. It is impossible for me to know you. Who can understand your transcendental body? What to speak of what you're experiencing, the bliss that you experience. And now he's going to say something on how he can be known, the Lord can be known. And then when Mahaprabhu heard this, he said, very good. And this is the verse. Jnane prayasam urupasyanamante eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavati avartam stene stita sudagatam tanovan manobhya ye piaso jito jito pyasitas tilokyam. Those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and with their body, words, and minds offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, they certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. Stenes dita shutagatam tanovan manobir. Just stay, don't, because we tend to think, so even if we want to make it, I have to change this and I have to change that, I have to change this, we tend to be so external about what has to be changed. But here, Brahma is saying, and Ramananda Roy is saying, and Mahaprabhu himself is confirming that there is only one thing we have to do. Don't change anything. Stane stita. Stay in your place. But shudagatam. And hear about the descriptions of Krishna. Hear Krishna katha. And then jito ajita. The unconquerable Lord, he is conquered by a devotee who will do this. And Brahma again has just said, here you are, the Supreme Brahman, standing here with food in your hand, peacock feather, gunja berry earrings, looking so beautiful, but so powerful, unlimitedly, inestimably powerful. Cannot be known, cannot be understood, but that Lord can be conquered by the process of hearing about him. I'd like to read Vishwanath's purport to this first verse. This chapter relates how Brahma, though maintaining a mood of reverence, immersed himself in the great ocean of Krishna's sweetness. After praising Sri Krishna with great devotion mixed with knowledge, Brahma asked some questions. I am not afraid if the real devotees, this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, I am not afraid if the real devotees who are relishing great bliss by collecting loads of jewels, mock my stance of selling jewels, offering a few jewels. Meditating with determination solely on the lotus feet of my guru, my heart desires to cross the ocean of Brahma's prayers. In other words, these Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, humbly, I'm going to distribute a few jewels by giving my comments on these prayers. And others may say that there's so many jewels, and what are you giving? Just a little bit. He's speaking very humbly. Other great souls may say that, but still I will distribute my jewels, meditating with determination solely upon the lotus feet of my guru. My heart desires to cross the ocean of Brahma's prayers, and I will comment on this. Now Brahma has directly realized that Nandanandana is the source of all forms of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Having attained firm devotion to the lotus feet of Krishna, Brahma profusely praises the Lord. Brahma said, my dear Vasudev, you are the source of countless forms. You are the only worshipable Lord. You are glorified by everyone in the universe, from me down to the grass. In order to attain you, I offer these praises to you. Or simply to please you, I glorify you in verse. Your transcendental body, dark blue like a fresh rain cloud, is wrapped in a garment more brilliant than lightning. Brahma's words describing Krishna suggest two things. The earth gets relief from the scorching heat of the summer through the cloud of Krishna's rain, and the Chataka bird-like devotees sustain their lives with the mercy pouring from the rain cloud of Krishna. Brahma continues, Gunja berry earrings accent the beauty of your face. Flowers adorn your hair, and a peacock feather rests atop your head. Brahma's description reveals the superiority of the lowly gunja berry of Braja to the precious jewels of Vaikuntha. The forest garland of wild flowers and leaves around Krishna's neck is superior to those made of the Parijata flowers from Swargaloka, from heaven. By mentioning the morsel of yogurt rice in Krishna's hand, his stick and horn, Brahma indicates the superiority of Krishna's cowherd boy form over all others. In mentioning Krishna's soft feet, Mridu Pade, Brahma indicates that those wandering in the forests of Vrindavan become filled with ecstasy upon seeing Krishna's footprints. By stating that Krishna is the son of a cowherder, Brahma shows the superior fortune of Nanda over Vasudev. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment to the second verse is very long, so there won't be time to read it. We should absorb ourselves in Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. Don't make external changes, but make the real change, the internal change, of becoming a devotee of Krishna, of surrendering to his lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Si si Gaur Nitai Nitai Satyanandana ki jai. Si si Guru Parampara ki jai. Vamsi Kapiti Krishna 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 Krishna